can't be too linear. They can't be done on radio.
Stays news. Hard-hitting journalism.
Like the tetrad. Mm-hmm. When I said the tetrad, you went, that's true. It wasn't the truth.
Because I think it's true, relevant to my situation at hand.
No, I don't necessarily mean that, because that implies matching your own inner reality with outer reality.
So that's wrong.
Yeah, that's limited today. The new form of truth is, well, in a word, it's Bob, but Bob resonates with all languages and all sounds and all artifacts. So I'd have to refine that better.
Michael.
Yes?
Get off the bloody phone and go to bed. It's 12:45.
Oh, the guy. Well, mother shows up right when he's going into the truth.
Okay.
True Bob. Every second Wednesday. By phone. Church of the Subgenius. With Bob. Midnight 88.1 CKLM.
Oh, Mikey. Don't tell your mother.
You are listening to CKLN 88.1 in Toronto. Good morning. My name is Michael Dyer. It is a few minutes after midnight. And welcome back to another installment of the Church of the Subgenius. Welcome back, Bob.
Good evening, Mike.
So we have skipped a week. We're now on another cycle.
Yeah.
Any significance to this cycle, or is it just a...
It's the closest to August 22nd we could get.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Today's the 23rd, I understand.
It's actually the 24th now.
Yeah, yeah. But it's the closest. Well, August 24th. Hey, that's significant. It was a year ago today while our executive was in Nicaragua that we featured the four-hour extravaganza, Who's Forgotten Furry Lent, August 24th, 1988.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You got the 888 there, which is post 666. You know, August is the eighth month, 888, post 666. Okay, guys? So, Mike, get the deal... We gonna phone somebody? Explain where we're at.
Well, we may. I don't know. I have been talking about on the air the Festival of the Swamps, which is a week-long event going on in Madison, Wisconsin. And it began on Sunday. It runs until this Sunday, the 27th. And it is conceived as a method of invoking response amongst artists forced into experimental isolation. Much like ourselves.
Electric autonomy, solitude.
Well, one of the themes of this festival, which was initially started to counter another festival, which had a lot of corporate sponsorship in Madison, is to create this swamp radio cobweb, it's called.
And
it's
a mood mud wake.
Of sorts.
Swamp.
It's a call-in network which runs all week, but... The instructions are perhaps intentionally vague. I'm not really sure what's supposed to happen. If someone's supposed to call us, if we're to call them, if we're to call other radio programmers, if other people are to call us, which they do, of course, anyway. Anyways, this is the idea. So someone may call us, Bob, and it may be relevant to this. So, you know, perhaps we could create a theme as we have been creating themes around that tonight. So,
okay, how about... there's the phones ringing.
I'll get to it.
Theme is obviously explain my absence, what I do on my vacation. Some important things happen there.
Mm-hmm.
Another theme would be rearview mirror nostalgia for the body as a museum activity revolving around your personal senses versus the programming of the environment by corporate sensory artifacts. That's another theme. And the third theme would be Marshall McLuhan revitalizing tactile space, Lyndon LaRouche revitalizing visual space, Frank Zappa revitalizing acoustic space, and Doctors for Bob revitalizing kinetic space. All right? And those are the themes tonight. Okay, no, people, call in. We're ready to roll. We got the themes out there.
I want it to be something.
Bob. Bob's the theme tonight. No, it's always the same. You are the theme. My guest tonight, young kids from high school were corrupting the elders, and the youth are complaining.
How about recycling cultural relics? Is
that that's a good one. Okay. Mike suggests recycling cultural relics. For some reason, you're low, Mike. The phones are ringing. We don't even get to discuss the themes. People are psychically tuned in with their paragraphs.
Let's go right to our first caller.
You're a bit low, Mike.
No. Oh, really?
Oh, hold on. We've got a caller from Wisconsin.
Okay, good. Caller from Wisconsin, guys.
Hello?
Hello, this is Mikhail calling.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good, you're wondering how this is going to work out.
Okay, are we live right now?
Yeah, you're on the air.
We're on the air.
Yeah, how are you?
Good, we just finished calling up Montreal a few minutes ago.
That's right, yeah, they're doing their show at CKUT.
Right, and it's worked out really great up there, and we also were on the air in John Collegio has a radio show that broadcasts to Western Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
A show called State of Flux. We were just calling there a little while ago. They actually had real problems with the phone and stuff. They gave out the wrong phone number, so they had to. They had in the middle of the phone call, and they had to get an electronic engineer to come in to rip up the phone and put the other phone on so that the right number was going on the air. This is all. They had to do this all live.
Oh, great.
That's
peace.
Swampy.
Well, what we're doing here is we were just talking about it actually, Mikhail, and about the theme and and about the idea, and we have you happen to have hit actually a week where my guest is J.R. Bob Dobbs of the Church of the Subgenius, so it's appropriate. And otherwise, we've got some tapes. And how's it been working so far?
Pretty good. We have two studios set up with a phone in each studio, so we're prepared to do a live improvisation here.
Mm-hmm. Upstairs.
Hi, Liz.
Samplers and other things downstairs, and a whole bunch of people staying in this house and being crazy on the phone.
Great. Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are we going to be monitored? Are we going to hear ourselves at all, or no?
How is that possible?
Somehow it's possible in some stations.
Yeah.
Liz, it doesn't matter.
No, I'm curious.
Yeah, I guess not. No, I guess we can just give you some feedback and let you know how it's sounding.
Okay.
Sorry.
We'll probably go about between 20 minutes and half an hour.
Well, then we'll probably fade you in and out as we go along, too.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Here we go.
Okay.
Can they hear us, Mike?
No, they can't hear. I have to talk to them.
Well, this is ridiculous. This is hijacking.
Well, it's... They've done it before.
I mean, I can't get on, but...
You can keep talking. You're still being heard.
Okay. Yeah, I can do my own show.
But you're not being heard in Madison.
Right, okay. They don't need to hear that.
Yeah.
All right, then. Well, let's start off with our usual list the dead of Contragate. We got here, former Iranian President Mohammad Ali Rajai, killed in a bomb blast in his office in Tehran. Rajai visited the United Nations in mid-October 1980 and left New York the same night. That informant Y claims Vice Presidential candidate Bush and Reagan Bush campaign manager William Casey flew to New York October 18, 1980, before leaving for the October 19th Paris meeting with Iranian officials. They may well have met in New York prior to Rajai's departure on the night of October 18, 1980. So he died in a bomb blast in his office in Tehran. There it is, perfect synchronicity. There's the echo of Muhammad Ali Rajai. Another dead person, Richard Beale, shows up right on time, special assistant to President Reagan for national security. Died in his 30s, a young person, maybe even a pink yuppie. November 3rd, 84, in Washington, D.C., died of a heart attack. Ah, a resonance there. Beale had performed the sophisticated computerized October surprise study before the 1980 election, which revealed that the Reagan-Bush campaign had to prevent President Carter from bringing the hostages home between October 18th, the night William Casey and George Bush reportedly left for the secret Paris meeting with Iranian officials, and October 25th, 1980, or lose the election. According to one of his former students, Beale's computer studies were funded by the CIA. As special assistant to the president for national security, Beale had consolidated national security-related information from the Pentagon and governmental and military intelligence agencies for the first time in U.S. history in a sophisticated computer used by the White House National Security Council. Oliver North had access to one of the computer terminals of this newly integrated system. That's two dead people for tonight, Richard Beale and Mohammed Ali Rajad. Now, Mike, on to my vacation, right? This is good musical accompaniment. It's perfect. You see, this is electric autonomy. There are no connections in electric matter, you know. They're broadcasting here. They can't hear us, right? And what they're doing there, they can't hear there, which is coming through here. Mm-hmm. They can't hear there. So we are disconnected. This is one of the main principles of electric matter, discontinuous, no connections. That's why people are running around looking to, what, connect. They want to connect. So what happens to Bob? He wants to connect when he goes on vacation. Problem is, when Bob's on vacation, he's working furiously because Bob cannot let up with the division between idleness and work. That division is not possible. Right, Lisa? Impossible, Lisa. Impossible. How about this division in Bob's life? He has so much slack at work, his play, and play his work. So I worked furiously. But what did I do? Well, I go back to my home province, you know, and I've been having dialogues and conversations with church members there for over 60 years. 60 long, sweet-filled, slack-inducing years. And the Nova Scotians just love it when Bob comes back, you know, because I remember exactly what we said the last time we spoke, be it 5 months ago, 2 years ago, 15 years ago, or for some people, 40 years ago, because they had a high school reunion on the 50th anniversary of Marsh McLuhan's marriage to Corinne, August 4th, 1939. 50 years later, approximating Bob's parallel life. Of course, Bob didn't go to the high school reunion because he had to have his own alternative high school reunion, you know, for the some geniuses. But, of course, there were many people who hadn't seen Bob in many years, and Bob successfully avoided them. But he did have to contend with one person, Ms. Christine Hart. Now, how the heck does the new Minister of Culture and Communications, Christine Hart, have to deal with Bob? Well, Christine happened to go to high school from grade, public school, junior high and high, with Bob from primary up to grade 11. Of course, Bob was about 40 years old then, recycling back, setting up his church membership in high school, faking youth, which Bob can do. My guest here tonight can testify to how young Bob looks. It's hard to believe I'm well into my 70s now, going on in my 80s around 2 o'clock tonight. And Christine Hart shows up, puts her face on the cover of the Toronto Star, kissed by two backbenchers, pinks galore, August 3rd, the day before the high school reunion. So what does she do? She calls the organizer of the high school reunion, Rebecca Douglas, someone I never knew, but apparently she was persistent while living at home with her mother and selling dolls. She was persistent in getting everybody back together because she never showed up to high school. Oh, what do you say, Mike? I like the pitch is beautiful, Mike. Talk again, Mike. Wah, wah, wah. You know, do it again. Get that echo. So, are we taking calls? Can we do that? Oh, 598-1479 for calls, right, Mike?
Just keep talking.
Yeah. So, anyways, Christine Hart's on the cover of the Toronto Star, you know, the day before... day before the high school reunion, so I, through my own sources, know she called Rebecca Douglas and had not even paid or showed any interest in the pink high school reunion. Did not even, you know, answer their application forms twice sent to her. But sure enough, on Thursday night, Christine Hart, and wouldn't she be shocked if she knew this was being talked about? How did Bob know this stuff? Anyways, Christine Hart, Thursday night, the night before the reunion, calls Rebecca Douglas and demands Rebecca Douglas to announce to all her friends in high school that she's sorry she couldn't come to the reunion, But the reason was she'd just been appointed Minister of Culture and Communications. And, you know, Gudrun almost puked. Gudrun was the treasurer of the committee for the high school reunion. She almost puked. She said, Rebecca, don't let that announcement about Christine put on. She didn't even show any interest in the reunion up to that point. Now, because she's made the cover of the Toronto Star and she's moved into Bob Dobbs's area, Culture and Communications, after leaving Connie's area of the Minister of Health as a legislative aide, what does she do? She demands her name to be listed. I mean, as Gudrun said, there's many people who aren't making it to the reunion. Why don't we announce all the reasons? Like, for example, that Bob Dobbs just made $1 million, unfortunately can't make it. So Bob is a millionaire and never worked a day in his life. Why don't that announce that? So, unfortunately, Rebecca is the pink of the committee, and she announced, the only announcement made, that Christine Hart, our new Minister of Culture and Community, well, not my minister, excuse me, I mean Mike's minister, you know, the grant-grubbing golden fleecers like Mike Dyer and Duncan Harper and Rick Ropey, now writing for the New Yorker magazine, you know, just because he gets five articles in 1 year in his rookie year, they think he's better than John Updike. But as the review last weekend in the Toronto Star is, the closest to the great American novel was written by Bukowski, just out, called Hollywood. So forget Ropey. I knew him in high school. Dig Bukowski. But above all, understand Bob's holy offices, because that's the only way you can even get comprehensive awareness at this late stage of the new beginning. Speak of the... Who, Bukowski? No, the holy offices, yeah, right. That's the sign between subgenius and pink, right? Those who don't get grants and those who don't... Like, are these guys on grant, Mike, these Madison, Wisconsin people? They're okay, all right? And you're not on grant.
Not right now.
Not right now, but you could be. He's Mike comprehensive. He can be as pink anytime he wants to be, as well as be subgenius. That's what we really want to be able to do. But, of course, when we get our grants, we use it to buy new equipment for CKLN, right? That's what the ideal purpose of getting grants is. Funnel it through, put them in our executive, right? You know, we need that money. So Bob, you know, what he found out, the amazing fact he found out this week here in the past week in Nova Scotia was that his public school sweetheart, you know, Bob is 40 hanging around with these kids where they were seven. Well, of course, Bob had to get some sensory tactile activity, so he befriended a little girl named Gudrun. And, as a result of that, Gudrun and him have had a long-standing conversation in many ways since then, you know. But he found out that Gudrun lived at a house number 22. Her four sisters and brothers were all born on the 22nd of various months. And her father and mother born on the 11th. And many other, you know, indications of 22. Unbelievable. I had not noticed that, you know, that I had this fascination with 22 on a subconscious basis. Dating back to my original romance, you know. So 22 just showed up. Let's see what Madison has to say about this.
We seem to have lost the signal.
No, they faded out.
Did they? I mean, there's a reason. I think we're getting the pseudo-exes coming through.
Sorry, I had to cut them off, Bob.
Oh, great. No problem. What do you think of that? My sweetheart, you know, lived at 22 so-and-so street.
It is the pseudo-exes.
And four other members, including herself, born on the 22nd throughout the year. In one family. Can you believe that? And, of course, I found that out 22 years after I had my last opportunity to be beside her.
It's been a tough week. It started off with the lunar eclipse.
Yeah?
Now,
that was on the 2nd anniversary of the harmonic bivergence, you know, to the day.
That's right.
Yeah, so that's significant. And I was watching it in my hometown. And as Sean here pointed out, that was the ultimate expression of the shadow effect of the discarnate state. Old new nature, obsolesced. Old nature, shadow. That's visually speaking. Yeah, pseudo.
It was astonishing to a pseudo-exist's eyes to look down and see the exact moment of the eclipse. A Coca-Cola pixelated airplane flying towards Spadina and Queen.
It must have been moving. Or it must have been a moving moment.
He was circling between the C and E. And Queen and Dufferin for about a half an hour.
And as Gudrun would say, you almost puked, right?
Well, I did puke.
Oh!
Crashed the portal, guy.
Disguised as a nuclear dump waste project north of Pickering, right?
He went down in flames. I don't think they've recovered anything yet. Now, something happened on the other side of the globe that coincides with something that happened on this side of the globe yesterday.
Can't get a haircut.
This is the big cat murders that the pseudo-exist has stumbled upon, just by being in two places at once.
Yeah.
It's the big cat murders. And on the east side, in Kenya, McKenna was murdered. Now, his association is with the lion. Remember, they made the film Born Free based on McKenna, who took wild lions, set them free. They had been captured, they finally plugged it to him.
A film about slack? You mean Born Free, Born Slack?
Given slack, yes.
Yeah, I see.
Gave those lions some slack.
Did he get murdered on the eclipse day?
He was murdered, I believe, 2 days ago.
The 22nd.
On the 22nd.
There it is, the 22nd. When did Huey Newton get murdered?
He got it yesterday.
The 23rd, the old
No, we know that this is the black cat, the black panther, as opposed to the white cat, the lion, the panther. Now, the pseudo-exist knows that this really is a sign of the sleaze factor being hiked up by black label, the apartheid people, against cats, against what is sensual, against what is female, and is a direct attack.
On the right hemisphere.
On the right hemisphere, the big cat murders.
That's an interesting pattern. I have an update on the Huey Newton problem. Is the reason maybe was that in Chicago, the black activists there have organized a boycott of the newspapers because they claim they're racist. So it looks like Huey Newton is the first victim of a new race war, civil war happening in the States.
It appears that way, doesn't it, Bob?
Yeah, I mean, the day of the strike, they kill him. I mean, in Chicago, it's Pink Center.
Would you advise the listeners what to do now?
Stay tuned. Listen to Bob, because Bob can give you comprehensive awareness as you're going down.
Even though
the price of meat just went up, your husband just went down.
Yeah. Red meat. The self-proclaimed king of Queen Street lies on his back eating great globs of red meat over the weekend in southern Ontario.
Right on.
Mud-ridden mood wake.
Yeah.
Excellent words. Excellent.
Excellent advice from the Zootalurzexus.
Can I return your friends from Wisconsin to you?
Yes.
We'll take them for another few minutes. Thank you, Sue Alexis. You're extremely clear and profound tonight.
Talk to you in 2 weeks.
Bless you. Well, really clear signal.
Yeah. How did that happen? Wisconsin's back. Is this Madison, actually Madison?
Madison, Wisconsin, the Festival of the Swamps.
The source of Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan came out of Madison, right?
It's a festival of performance, anarchist street theater, music, improvisation, and fun.
It's valid if you consider it a commentary, a footnote to the Holy Offices. Because if we have tactile space resuscitated by Marshall, visual space resuscitated by Lennon LaRouche. In other words, he acousticized it. Marshall visualized tactile space. Zappa visualized Zappa visualized acoustic space. But then they cross over because in the world of mixed corporate media, any particular specialist project, no matter how dialectic and rhetorically tuned, will have to have a level of the fifth element of mud in terms of mixture. So Marshall visualized acoustic space through tactility. No, that's not what he did. He visualized tactile space while LaRouche was acousticizing visual space, and Frank was kineticizing acoustic space, and any reasonable alternative doctor was operating on your smell or taste. I mean, where does the sense of smell come in here? Who is the art form, the archetype of smell or taste? I guess it would be me just filling in as a substitute, because the intensity of my work will cause people to hallucinate in a synesthetic kind of way, right? Synesthetic. Synesthesia. Susie, need me. So if Marshall is Zappa-izing LaRouche and LaRouche is Marshall-izing Zappa, and Marshall is Zappa-izing the smell archetype of Bob, then we really get an important source of interplay, the interval, because tactile space is interval. Mike, you know, I have to sit here, Mike, and I got to watch you ho-hum, boring, you know, these boring expressions that comes on Mike's face. It just stimulates to more creativity. But I ain't going to use that as a stimulus anymore. I'm going to shut down whenever I see you looking blasé and bored. So take over, Mike. Let's see what you can do. Make me happy.
Listening to CKLN 88.1 in Toronto, and my name is Michael Dyer. 2 minutes after midnight, we have Subdued Bob, we have tranquilized him just for a few minutes. He'll be right back. If you have a question concerning tonight's theme, recycling cultural relics, please call and have your input, have your say. Bob will answer your questions. Right now we're listening to a live broadcast from Madison, Wisconsin, from your hosts, Liz Wong and Mikael End, who founded the Festival of the Swamps 4 years ago as a response to what was called the Festival of the Lakes, a large corporately sponsored event, which ran in Madison with the budget in the millions of dollars, and their response was the Festival of the Swamps, which has gone on to become fairly infamous within networking circles. At the same time as the Festival of the Swamps is happening, there are now a couple of festivals of plagiarism and one festival of apathy happening in, I think, Iowa City. Anyhow, maybe Bob is waking, Bob is moving, the caller isn't going anywhere. But if you do have a question, 595-1478.
Well, I think I see the light on, Mike. There's a call, there's a light. Is that Madison? All right, the big point, Mike, I'm trying to get across.
Are you over your little fit now? Are you?
Yes, I realized why I had the fit. I mean, a little bit of right hemisphere evoked by the pseudo-exus and the eclipse of the moon. We actually have our first female guest here tonight. The woman faction, the cult of IC, is represented here tonight. I don't mean I-C-Y, I mean is I-S-I-S. In all the Gnostic beginnings, the new womanly man precursor. All right, Lisa, come on over. We have Lisa here. Lisa, you've got to speak for your kind, Lisa, for your species. She has nothing to say. She's right hemisphere post-verbal, right? Nothing to say. But I just want to tell all those women out there who've been waiting for another woman to show up here before they realize that Bob is a woman to go ahead now and call Bob. I'm fully qualified to deal with women. They don't have to be afraid of me because we got one here. I mean, she's just fresh out of high school. And, you know, she could be frightened living in Ontario, but she isn't. So proof that Bob is Bob. And Slack is a tetrad. So we do a tetrad on Marshall McLuhan, LaRouche, and Zappa. And what was the fourth one? Smell Me. When you enhance Marshall, you retrieve LaRouche. You obsolesce Frank, and you flip into Bob. Simple, all right? That's for the tactile base. But if you have visual base, you enhance LaRouche, you obsolete Marshall, you retrieve Frank, and the phone rings. Okay, answer it, for God's sakes, Mike. Come on. I want my church members to know this is one of the best shows ever broadcast since the last one, so let's put one on.
Let's see if this will work. Hi, C. Kellen.
Hi, it's Bob here.
Oh, yeah. The Canadian Beaver's back.
That's right. Do I have to follow your theme?
Yes. Yeah, no.
No?
Take your pick.
Take my pick. Okay. I want you, I cut the thing out of the newspaper a long time ago. I don't know if you know about it or not, but it's about six British scientists who have died in a mysterious situations. Do you know anything about it?
I certainly do. I ordered half of the hits. And, yeah, the other half I didn't because I was working with Gorbachev, and we ordered half of the murders were done by the Russian branch of the Solar Government, you know, the secret Christian Skopsis you've heard me talk about many times. The other half were murdered by the Pentagon Bolsheviks because they sort of mistook the murder as being directed by the Rockefellers, and they didn't know it was the Russian-inspired, so then they thought they had betrayed, you know, double-agent stuff, and they got killed. So it was a... It was half of them died for righteous reasons. The other died due to the confusing effects of the first half's murders. And that was all leading up to Reykjavik, which confirmed my supremacy as the chairman of the Secret Council 10 and was made official later in March 88. So that's the reason.
Well, a friend of mine...
You have friends. Come on now, let's be honest. Nobody has friends under electric conditions. All discontinuous, no connections.
Somebody I know.
Yeah, let's just say that. Someone who can speak your language.
Okay, right. Somebody I know.
Yeah.
He had his own theory, and he tried to link it up to the book he wrote, The Third Alternative, about the space stations, and he said...
Alternative 3, yeah.
Okay, Alternative 3.
Yeah.
And he tried to link that with the scientists being dead, and he sort of thought that maybe the scientists knew that the Russians and the Americans were building the stations, and that they could expose it, so some secret government may have killed them off.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Your friend is perfectly accurate. It is related to the Battle of the Harvest Moon, and all murders in the 80s come out of what happened September 27, 1977.
Mm-hmm.
That's if you read the book Alternative 3, it is the scenario of that battle is placed right at the end of September, early October, the same time in 77.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, yes, your friend is right. It is, remember, you know, I mean, Frank Zappa complains about militarization of the budget and all this money going into mm-hmm. military to weapons that don't work. He's missing the point. They aren't going into weapons that don't work. The money of the Pentagon is going into building the solar government and the resultant battles they're having with the Christian faction in Russia. And so most of the murders in the 80s are revolving around these battles in outer space, and we're kind of like getting bodies dropping out of the sky, you know,
mm-hmm.
Chicken Little style.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, yeah, your friend is right.
Yeah. Can you tell me, I mean, I believe this is probably true, but how can they do this without us knowing? I mean, they'd have to, you know, in order to do all of this, they'd send up rockets and stuff up there. They'd have to find a desert somewhere and no one, you know.
Well, you know where they do it?
What's going on?
Well, first of all, you've got Novosibirsk in the Siberian area. You certainly haven't been there lately, and you're not knowing what's going on there. And the American group is out of the Diego Garcia Island in the Indian Ocean. That's why Skylab went down in 1979 in the Diego Garcia Ocean. That was the hoax. NASA said it landed there, but it had already been blown up in October 1977, 2 years before.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the old Rockefeller Bolshevik base, the Indian Ocean. And they certainly can control the press releases on things that are happening. Now, you got to remember that, of course, this thing was revealed. There were leaks, and the leaks came out through Dr. Beter. So you could find out, especially here in CKLN, listening to Dr. Beter's tapes and Bob Marshall's work earlier, reading the lists, reading the summary of the tapes, it has been leaked, and you can find out. It's already a fact.
Oh, wow.
Just if you want to know.
Oh, so there's like evidence for this stuff.
Oh, yeah. I've got all of it at home, and I play it here on CKLN occasionally.
Yeah.
Kent will be doing it tonight.
Well, that's good. Okay, one more question before I go, okay?
Okay.
Who's taking over? Well, probably, you're probably going to say you are, but I don't think it is. Who's taking over Mabe Russell's work?
You're right. I'm not doing that. It's a man named John Judge.
John Judge.
And it's you can hear the best PR for Mabe Russell's work on Sunday here in CKLN at 10 o'clock in the morning with Dave Emery, who is the closest collaborator with Mabe Russell alongside of John Judge. And Dave Emery has his show, and it's broadcast in New York and around the country, and we broadcast it here on Sunday morning. Bob Marshall does that.
Can you tell me just a little bit about John Judge? Like, who is he?
He's a longtime researcher friend of Mabe Russell, and he's written articles for Overthrow, and I think he was involved in the psychiatric patient movement in the late 70s, early 80s.
Well, that's pretty good. You know what I heard? You know I heard about Overthrow? Overthrow, I've heard that the organization runs in a hierarchy. They have a high command, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's the spin-off of Jerry Rubin and Abby Hoffman and taken over by Pink. So just read the Overthrow literature. Don't talk to them personally. You know, just use their information. Don't get involved personally. It leads up a cul-de-sac.
Okay.
A cool cul-de-sac.
Okay, one more thing before I go. Are you going to go see that movie about the 60s?
About the 60s?
Yeah.
Which one?
Rude Awakening.
The Rude Awakening. Oh yeah. It's, well, see, I saw the poster, right? And you have the hippies confronting the Wall Street brokers.
Mm.
Well, I guess what you have here is money becomes tactile. All right?
Right.
In the 60s, we were tribally for being tribal. In the 80s, we're tribally against being tribal. So you have the conflicting images, right hemisphere values versus left hemisphere values with the yuppie couple. But the reason money is important in the 80s is that money reflects number, and number is tactilized under electric conditions. So they're actually a complete mirror image of each other. Both are interested in the interval. It's just that it's a visual expression in the 80s, and it was a acoustic expression in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So you go see that movie, you won't see that ground explained. But it'll be the root of the humor.
Right.
And if you really could see it, you wouldn't find the movie funny at all. You'd find it a documentary of
what
I say. And more evidence, more scientific laboratory proof of what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, Beaver.
Okay,
we got
to
go.
Thanks.
You're a wonderful person.
Thanks, Colin.
Bye.
Your 15 minutes are up. Okay.
This is fun, eh, Mike? You know, having access to the airs. I heard a programmer on CKLN the other day saying so-and-so Ruth was coming up and will be your dictator on CKLN for the next 2 hours. So I said, yeah, I guess that's what we are, dictators here, for anybody who wants to listen. It's a voluntary dictatorship. You don't have to listen.
Of course. I don't listen to CKLN very much, actually.
Oh, I do, Mike. Mm-hmm. I have to know what the other programmers are doing so I can keep ahead.
Yeah.
I start with the other person's ignorance. That's how you keep ahead. And that's very easy to do. Under electric conditions when you're Bob.
You want to go to this surprise cassette?
Let's just see what this
is. I know what it's all about. Let's go to the cassette first.
Okay, just hold them. We do have... This is a...
answer the phone.
Yeah, this is a great memo I got on my machine. It's a book review of a new book. It's available at Pages, I think, and this ain't the Rosedale Book Room. It's called, The Senator Must Die. There's a short... message about the Pope, and then there's another message. But this is a subgenius review of the new book, which we all should rush out and fill in the blank.
Yeah, and the Star, there's an interesting column today. Pat Buchanan, he's defending the Catholic role in the Holocaust. And he really, I think, put his foot in his mouth. He goes, well, the Pope served as an intermediary between the British and Germans planning agents and Germans planning the assassination of Hitler. So there you have it. The Pope serving as an intermediary between assassins. Great. What a man of God.
That's it.
That's message one. Now comes the next message.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, book review.
Yeah, the fact that Hitler was never successfully assassinated. Hey, so, that new book, The Senator Must Die, it's quite good. They basically say that Sirhan Sirhan, this guy claims that he didn't think he was hypno-programmed. It's funny, though, he cites the report from the Philippines on that Louis Castellez guy, remember? And he, really omits a lot of parts. He claims he has the whole report. And, all he mentions is stuff that ties him into Cuban exiles, right? It's like this guy's definitely, selective in what he prints, although the book's still really useful. But the other thing is, he does mention one part about how the Iranians and the British really hated, basically the Rockefellers and the British oil interests in Iran really hated the Kennedys, but they liked Joseph Kennedy. And that Joseph Kennedy was basically always trying to soften, gloss over all the hostilities and that, trying bring his kids around to be a little more what's the word. So anyways, the other he says that that Sirhan knew it, and that he figured there's a number of bank accounts for Sirhan. He's going to get lots of cash when he gets out. but that he surrounds her and figured he'd get out by 84. And that the guy who really killed Kennedy was the guy behind him, Ali Ahmad, with his camera, and that his camera, that SLR camera, those, like, one viewfinder aimed things are actually, it's actually a gun. So there you go, and that basically the coroner's report bears it out. And then the old, you know, the part about the Bernsteins, seeing the guy who ran out, the guy and the girl in the polka dot dress who ran out and said we killed Kennedy, and how they were harassed for saying that. Anyway, so it's a pretty good book. You should buy it if you're looking to get some new info on Bobby Kennedy. Bobby. And also, it's interesting, they say he had to be killed then, because once he was nominated in California, he would have been within hours surrounded by Secret Service people. So basically, he had to be done then, and that it was done through Savick, and Jesse Helms was involved in organizing it. Not Jesse Helms, I'm sorry, you know who I mean. Helms, the head of the CIA, who then became ambassador to Iran. And they had, the guy said they picked Sirhan Sirhan because he was Jordanian, so it would help not link it to the Savick, Iranian secret police. Pretty interesting book. Richard Helms. Ah, I memorized a phone book. Okay, see ya.
Okay, there you have it. A good review of The Senator Must Die, available at Subgenius bookstores around Toronto.
Let's just keep playing along. We've got only a little bit of time left, Bob.
Okay.
We've got another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. Yo.
Oh, is that me there?
Hi.
Still waiting on the line?
Yeah.
Go ahead, baby.
Baby? Who's baby?
Me. Bobby.
Oh, you've got kids. Now, what are pinks?
Anybody who bothers you.
Anybody who bothers you is pink? Why pink?
Because if you ever notice on color TV, when a white person's on, they kind of have a pink tinge.
Oh, I see. You have to get TV before you know this thing.
Yeah.
Now, when the white person's on, they're pink. So any white anyone who bothers you is white, therefore they're pink, because you have a color TV. Oh, now what?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense, right? But it just,
what does right hemisphere mean, then, when they say that gives you fits?
Right hemisphere is the, in quotes, irrational, the non-logical functions of the brain. It deals with ecstatic communion with one's sensory life.
Oh, you said non-logical was feminine. Did you right side's feminine, non-logical?
Yeah, traditionally in the old, before Bob was here, the women were typecast by the pink males as non-logical. That's why we...
Kind of continuing to be a little pink.
No, they're not now. Now that I'm in control.
Oh, well, I don't have color radio, so I don't know.
You don't have color radio?
No.
Yes, you do. No. You know, radio has a visual effect. It's a visual effect medium. Therefore, it hikes up your visual imagination. That's why novelists listen to Ideas Network and CBC. That's why CBC promotes literacy. And Margaret Atwood.
Oh, yeah, learning reading by radio, that's true.
That's true, whereas TV, you don't get that. The TV is a mood mud.
No, yeah,
TV's
no,
effect
I know.
Is tactile.
Yeah, okay, now I'll be able to read things that I've done. I better go back to listening, all right?
No, just a minute, no. Let's try to make that wonderful.
I think just overwhelmed.
Yeah, I think we understand. I think there was some impugned slander there, accusing... the Subgenius Church of being a male chauvinist. Let's understand that the categories we use are verbal, and this is a post-verbal reference point in this station and when we're on the air in Discarnate, and any verbal categories refer to the past. Therefore, when we refer to the feminine principle as irrational and non-logical and emotional, and the male as super-logical, those are categories for springboards, not for pinpointing what Bob's biases are. All right? Okay, and was there any other slander? Oh, and pinks, if anybody associates that with the homosexual community, I think they call themselves the pink triangle, or they have that symbol. We certainly aren't referring, putting down the homosexuals. I'm a homosexual, proud of it. It came out of the closet in the 19th century. And I sent my robotoids back in, and now they are kind of green. I don't know, you know, it's a new evolution. But I think we got some guests here, Mike. How much time we got?
the rest of our lives, really.
Good. What's the time?
Let's just keep going.
All right, good.
We'll go on. This is our station.
Good, we get another call, but
I'm afraid to pick up the phone, actually.
No, good. Maybe it's a dialogue happening now. Pick up the phone, Mike. Madison's gone? Mike's tired.
All right. Hello, CK Lang on the air. Hello.
I was hoping you'd have another caller. I feel so, it's radio for shut-ins. I had to hang up so you'd have more calls.
Shut-in
is a claustrophobic image.
Never mind.
Shut-in is a claustrophobic image. We are discarnate. We are everywhere. It's a neurogenous zone, the discarnate state.
You don't have a delay. You should advertise that you don't have a delay so that people can say whatever they like.
So that they can say whatever they like?
Well, if they wish to.
No, we don't have a delay, and everybody understands that you can't swear. We got the Black Ribbon Group monitoring us. So we hope and pray that we don't violate any...
You can swear any time if that's all people want to say. Don't have to phone the radio to swear.
Yeah, but we don't want to swear on our radio station. And Mike's got his hand on the pod. Man, you try to swear, he'll just pod you down. You won't get out. Let's see if he can do it. Beat Mike on the pod.
See, Mike's working on you. Come on, try to say something. Blow our CRTC license.
Talk about this, Richard. Now, what's your theme? Having people phone up to beg them to swear. Now, is that your theme?
No.
Is that what the show's called?
No.
What's it called then? I got to guess.
The theme is that...
I'm the only one who knows the phone number.
You are?
Well, obviously.
Yeah, well, the phone's ringing. They know the other numbers, too.
Well, you've got more than one line. Well, that's good.
Hey, have you helped raise the roof? Is he killing?
How long do I have to hold it up?
No, you just donate $25 and we can put a foot up.
Oh, you're just like real religion. This is fabulous. So you don't, except it's just like TV evangelism, except you don't get pictures. Well, you're supposed to be learning to read. Now, I don't know.
Yeah, no, money
you have to be able to write to send for the thing.
Remember, I got a line for you. Remember, money is not pink, it's green. So we like it. Money is not pink.
Oh, aren't you burning your American dollars for their Masonic symbolism, burning them in controlled conditions, having people hand them over? You only take green bills?
No, they get obsolesced by the tetrad. The Masonic group got obsolesced by the electric tetrad.
Oh, I don't know, but somebody was stealing their little go-karts.
No, they weren't.
Oh, it was you, wasn't it?
No, I wasn't doing it. Can you prove that someone was? You got any evidence? Documentary evidence?
Shriner's golf cart. Well, I've got the photos, but I can't. If I could fax them.
Yeah, but we can't show them, right? So you're going to have to go to the newspaper world. Well, nobody's reading newspapers anymore, so
why not?
You're going to have to make it up. Oh, because it's a bath now. Use the newspaper as a bath. It's a hot medium. No longer tactile.
Well, it gets your hands dirty.
That's right. That's why you got to wear gloves. I wear gloves when I use the newspaper.
That's not tactile, wearing gloves? Well, we got another caller now. Got a song request. Okay, get some music on there. All right, then. Oh, they're lining up. Oh, here comes the band.
You know, who is it? What's your name, Brent? Yeah, Brent here was saying, no, Sean was saying we got to get Connie on the air. I think that was Connie. Yeah, she's gone. She doesn't know how to dialogue, actually, but...
Hold on, this is my favorite part.
Yeah.
Can we listen to this? This is actually the same woman, but she's changed her voice. Listen.
Please hang up and try your call again. Please hang up. This is a recording.
Okay, that's it.
So where's Lisa? Lisa, what do you make of this right hemisphere discarnate being that's dialoguing with us? Do you have any comment on it?
Secret experiments relating back to Arctic incident last year, saving whales.
Two female.
You talk about that.
Two female whales, the younger... who had just given birth, who just rammed the older one, and this is in repercussion of the black cat murders of this week, the attack on the feminine, the sensual, the intuitive.
The post-feminist, post-male, you mean?
Direct attack.
Yeah,
that is why the feminine tonight is having a hard time expressing itself because it is still reeling from the attack on its person.
Ah, I see. Well, I welcome more engagements with the feminine because radio is right hemisphere. And if you want to listen to a male chauvinist, Church of the Subgenius, you hear him in the background now, Reverend Stang. He never understood the tactile interplay, never understood how he couldn't be a male anymore because the women are taking over, and we like it. Gives us a lot more slack, and we can control the information world while they do the housework on a global scale for the solar government. You know what I mean? And peace in our time, eco-fascism, and no Bob. No more Bob. You know, just no Bob. That's the future under right hemisphere extremism. But Bob will be here at CKLN because CKLN is none of those characteristics. It's just a pure state of negativity enlightened with positive feedback.
Is it worth taking any more phone calls at this point, Bob?
595-1478. If you had trouble getting through, Madison, Wisconsin's gone. If you, we can take one more call. If not, don't call. We're going. So I dealt with my high school reunion. Mm-hmm. Christine Hart, let's follow her, see how she does. I'm watching her. We saw how she acted at the reunion. Good, we got a call, so we can keep the show going. But Christine is now Minister of Culture and Communications, so that's a good sign because she knew Bob when he was a little guy.
Okay, we do have a caller. Go ahead, caller.
Bob.
Nice. Thanks to hear from you.
Bob, you're a typical male. You can't stand outside yourself. You think the world revolves around you like most men do.
That's right. Yeah, you're right there, baby.
Baby?
Feed me, baby.
But I'm okay.
But listen, feed me some more. Tell me what's wrong with me.
You're a male, that's basically.
Yeah, that's the first
point. Basic problem.
You don't pick up that I'm a woman?
You're not a woman. I can tell by your egocentricism that you're not a woman.
Oh, no, that's what women are doing now.
Oh, no.
They're putting that
on. No. Men put their penises up all, like, in the skyline. They put them in the car. They put them in front of video games. They put them everywhere. They're egocentric like nobody else, like no woman ever is.
Yeah, but you ever seen a discarnate penis? That's what Bob is. Everywhere at once. Man, it's like, how can you describe it? You're just touching it all the time. You're rubbing me. That's why I got slack. Everybody walks down the street, they're rubbing Bob's penis.
That's disgusting. Disgusting.
It's everywhere. Oh, I can feel it now.
That's really disgusting.
It's Mike, the old pink, you know, the voice of the pink. Carry on. Give us some more slack here. This is
okay,
beautiful.
You equate logic and so on with males, and you equate such.
Can't you hear? I said that's the old category.
No. Oh, yes.
Even
in the old category, it was never, ever true. It was never, ever true at all. For example, a mathematician who does not have intuition would never in a million years be a good mathematician. And intuition, in the old days, they equate with the feminine. But a mathematician who is not intuitive is not a good mathematician and never would be. You have to have a combination of the two.
So do you know why people perceive women in that way and men in the other ways? Because of the effect of the phonetic alphabet and the printing press. And that was 2,500 years of effect. It's now not perceived that way under electric conditions. You know that. You know the hidden causes of how you're right. You know that you're right and there are hidden causes to that?
Yes.
Okay. Do a tetrad on feminism for me then.
Okay, well, I think the people to see what is really going on, just as Canadians are better at observing America, because they're in a position of observation.
Hey,
so,
man, you've been listening to my show, eh? I know that.
I've believed this ever since grade two.
Oh, okay.
And in the same sense, women are better at perceiving the way. I mean, basically, the world has been built by men, and we history is his story, not her story.
Yeah.
So women are in a position to basically see things in a much clearer light than men are. Men have, I have found, my own personal experience, men have trouble standing outside of themselves and being able to see the because they're too involved. They're too involved with their maleness. The whole world revolves around them, and women are much more able to observe what is really happening. So I think true insight is going in the future is going to come from women.
Yeah, and that's why I got mutated into a woman. I mean, I know where the cards are stacked and who's got the edge. And I wouldn't be able to stay this long over 2 years on the air if I didn't have that in my bag, right?
I guess so. Well, actually, no, I disagree with that. I think you could have stayed on anyway.
Why? Something impugned here. Why? Why? Is there something? Are you implying our program director is chauvinist?
No. I think it's just basically the way the world is operating. I don't think we've advanced enough yet to be able to see the importance of the feminine view. I think a few people see it, but I don't think the world in general sees the significance of it.
Well, do you know that the hidden ground to electric conditions is information? It's not that information is important, but it is the ground, right? So wouldn't the male bats go into controlling information and leaving the old sort of handles of state education bureaucracies and those things to women? So women.
No, I mean, because all of those things, education, the educational system, the political system, the economic system, they're all antiquated, obsolete structures from the 12th century, the 19th century, the 18th century. They're all antiquated structures built by men around male thinking and so on.
So what would be our education under the new regime if it could happen?
Good question. I think Marshall McLuhan had quite a few insights into the way education should work. Certainly the educational system we have now is just, I would swear, but I won't, is...
Well, do you know what Marshall said about education? You know, he criticized Ivan Illich, who wanted to de-school society, let the kids out of the classroom. He said that was inappropriate because why go out into the world looking for answers when the answers are all around us?
Yeah, I mean, he said the important thing is the questions, right. Not the answers, and that's what we have to look for.
Yeah, you're Marshall McLuhan's daughter, aren't you? we're actually working on a film project secretly, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so, Bob, you let it out of the bag.
Yeah, I know you. the thing is, no, you're right. He said put the questions in the classroom. Let the kids go to work on the questions.
But he also, I mean, in his book, City as Classroom, I mean, the classroom is not so much the important thing. It's sort of the mental classroom that's the important thing. I mean, you can basically be anywhere. You don't have to be in a classroom. I mean, you can hold a class, you know, I mean, on top of a roof of a building and sort of say, look at that CN Tower. It's a big penis. What does that mean? Look how high it is. Look how big it is. What does that mean?
Yeah, studying the language of forms. Now, therefore, Marshall had a bit of the hold over the old form. He still believed in sort of boxing in the students. Sort of a male bias there?
Not necessarily. I also don't think he necessarily believed in boxing in the students because he was one of the founders of a school called Seed, which you may have heard of.
Oh, yeah. I gave it money.
Yeah, well, Seed has changed a lot since its inception, but in its inception, basically, it had the City as Classroom concept, and it's basically you could hold a class anywhere, and you could be taught by an expert in any field, and the thing was to basically... observe and have hands-on experience and really look at what things meant.
Right, pattern recognition.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So why do you think that revolution, or let's say you're feeling not too optimistic about feminist values are rising or the real woman world or whatever you want to call it,
I don't think necessarily feminist views...
Wait, I don't want to get confused on words. I want to just say, why do you think it won't happen?
What? No, I didn't say it wouldn't happen. I said that I don't think we are at a stage yet where its value has been recognized.
What would take us to realize it?
I think it's going to come over time. We're going to be forced. I mean, I think right now we're in the beginning of the decline of the Western civilization. And I think we're going to reach a crisis point and we're going to be forced to face up to what we have. We're going to sort of be forced to make a change in our thinking because we will have no alternative. And it may come from a complete collapse of Western civilization, and we may have to rebuild ourselves, or it may come from, you know, people just may hopefully smarten up a little bit. But I don't know, but we're going to have to change at some point, because if we continue on the way, especially right now because of electronic media is moving everything so quickly, and we are trying to fit that into an antiquated package. We're trying to fit all of our new technology and new information into these antiquated packages, our antiquated political system, economic system, educational system, and it just doesn't work. They just don't fit.
Yeah, well, you're right, but do you think there's a new element here, which I call the discarnate phenomenon, which is something that we could stay addicted to, and we could have chaos all around us in the old media, but we could just leave this planet, and if Russia's running the solar government, they can move off the Earth and leave it as a ghetto? Do you see that could actually happen, too?
Yeah, sort of like Blade Runner.
Yeah. yeah, that could happen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, suppose if we get the technology to leave the planet, I'm sure our technology will be advanced fast enough, faster than we are destroying the planet. And if that happens, if our technology moves faster than we are destroying the planet, then I think that's very likely that we get to a point where, oh, well, we can leave this planet. Well, I guess we don't have to fix it up. We can just let it, go to hell like it has been going for the past 300 years.
Okay, well, I hope you're on the same spaceship as I am. We could get along, because I'm a woman. And they're getting signals from the men here to cut you off, or the pink men here want to end
only,
the show.
Only because we have other callers lining up, and we very rarely do, but I appreciate this caller.
And listen, I really hope you can call again. You are,
I sure will.
You brought up some new questions.
Okay.
Thanks
a lot.
Okay,
bye.
Okay, I just wanted to say we do have one more caller, and perhaps we could go to that other caller.
Okay.
Just to wrap things up,
this is
one of our most dedicated callers, and I thought it would be a good way to finish. So unless you have any other comments, we'll just go out with this. Well, we'll go out with this, and then we'll make some final comments.
Okay, go ahead.
Is it really?
Okay, Kent, we're on the air. Get off the phone.
Okay, so Bob, you keep giving yourself away saying you mutated into a woman. Well, women are not mutations, okay? And you're into controlling. We're into controlling the info systems where we can control it. Feed me,
baby. That sounds like
feed
Josie.
Yourself. Don't eat me. You're not a woman. If you are, I'm defecting, but I'm not defective. You call me mutating. Come on now. Get over it.
Hey, I want you to be on my spaceship, too. Keep that dialectic going.
Oh, spaceship. No, you're worried about them saving trees so you can fly away. Well, good luck. Well, the Bon Voyage party is gathering around the... Do you notice all the chestnut trees in Toronto are dying? Now, people got to notice all the trees are dying and figure out what's going on. I mean, it's... You got to live. I know you can have all the ideas you want, but...
You got to live.
But, yeah, and maybe the chestnuts just weren't making a big enough profit, so there's a effort to kill them, but...
What do you think of the previous woman caller? Do you agree
with her? Woman caller.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, I like how they say the feminine and itself has an expression. Itself, it, feminine, it. I mean, or id, well, I don't know. And what are these?
It is discarnate.
What is this word, discarnate? What does that mean?
Well, it's what you're experiencing right now. You know, when you're on electric space via telephone or television, you are everywhere. In other words, if you were calling to New York from Toronto, you'd be both in New York and Toronto at the same time. If it was an intercom, you could be in Moscow. You'd be more places than your physical body could be. We call that discarnate. So we don't have an appropriate human image for that, human mental percept or concept of that phenomenon.
You see this discarnate as a positive thing?
No, just a fact. It's the new water we're swimming in, as fish.
Oh, water, fish, oh, they're all that. Oh, no.
Is that like going back to the womb?
No, in the dark tumors, no.
Yeah, we're in a new womb. And
oh, see, there you go again. Get the hell out of there. Get the hell out of there, boy. Boy, born again. Your mother must be sorry. The first time was bad enough, I'm sure.
Well, listen, I like the way you bring the pink. You bring the pink out of me. You know, you really bring it out of me.
Oh, blame me for you being pink. Now,
no,
come on,
no.
I ain't
pink's
been
a good
whipping
thing to
you
be.
From electric.
Pink's
with
a good thing to be.
Hmm?
Pink's a good thing to be, if you know how to be it, if you do it right.
Oh, pink was just bad. I gone a couple of minutes ago. You're erasing memory. You're into controlling the information already. And
that's right. You remember
rewriting, that's why writing down's not good. This radio literacy, I don't think I haven't learned. I can't even read the name on my radio. I don't know what station this is. I've been trying to tune in some music, but the radio's broken. Oh, no.
Well, remember, Meister Eckhart said, the hand that writes must erase. So the mouth that talks from Dartmouth, the darting mouth in Nova Scotia, must erase as it talks.
That's funny how all that graffiti sprung up the moment Toronto tried to clean the walls. It all of a sudden became everybody was out with a spray paint can.
Was that male or female energy or discarnate energy? Because they're responding to media images, right?
This constant classification and analysis, I don't know, is beyond me. I don't know.
Why is it beyond you? That's what I'm trying to encourage
because,
you.
Because doing things is more important than, levels of importance, and to analyze what this was, I just stated that it happened. I don't know. I couldn't say.
Yeah, see, you're into the post-verbal.
Post-verbal? Why, I'm finished talking? All right.
No. You're trying to talk about the post-verbal. I don't think you have a handle on how to do it yet. You do express the emotion and frustration of trying to say the non-verbal. You do that. That's effective.
Well, the non-verbal is saying nothing, and so that's hanging up again. Is that what you're saying?
No. Stay on, because silence is the new sea. But when you talk, that's silence.
Oh, when you talk that silence, why, are you talking empty, you mean?
Yeah, I'm running on empty. But it's not a Western, visually biased, male-oriented empty. It's the Eastern tactile form of
mind. That's so much better, empty, yes. Oh, yeah, empty or empty, starving or starving, burning or burning, killed or killed. But this empty, the Eastern empty, yes.
Yeah, the pulsating empty.
Pulsating, throbbing empty. There you go again.
More direct.
Well,
the word
sorry,
with the most juice.
I didn't think this was one of those phone numbers off the TV, one
juice.
Of those 1-800... I know. Maybe that's what you're looking for. Yeah, maybe you should phone the party line.
I can't
get
over how this sounds like Josie. Does this sound like Josie to you, Mike? It doesn't. Okay.
No names, Bob, please.
Oh, she hung up. Just when, I guess she's still listening, Sheila Gostick on phone now. His room makes... Oh, is that Sheila? This is a note passed to me by my sources. We were doing surveillance.
We do have another caller. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, we got one more.
Okay.
So this is Bob's network?
It is the Bob network. We're being dished on the satellite right now.
Okay.
So, George, tell us, what was the response of the tapes in Colorado? How did they respond to the tapes?
There was a certain amount of ecstasy.
Any more details?
Well, they were enjoyed.
Okay, now what do you want to talk about?
Well, the previous lady who called.
Oh, boy, George.
Spoke about education.
You're going to let me off the hook here. You take her on.
Oh, yeah, well, okay, I'm not going to take her on air because that's your department.
Oh, okay.
I would take her on privately at 489-8160.
Okay. It's finally out why George has been a regular caller.
So there we are. Now
tell us what.
Jerry Rubin had his little thing going at Studio 54. What do you call this? Church 22?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So okay, what do you want to...
Following the pattern.
Yeah, but what do you want to tell us? Anything?
Could give the information. Did you know that Rafsanjani named a 22-man cabinet in Iran lately?
That's good to know.
Yep, that's excellent to know.
That means he'll be more friendly to Russia, which is using Rockefeller's 22 background, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll see an increasingly hostile Pentagon stirring up trouble in the Middle East against Iran.
Did you know that the American hostage, Cassipio, that was killed, had been working for 22 years at the American Bank and Trust Company in Reading, Pennsylvania?
I knew that. Was Cappillo, whatever his name is, was he murdered, or do you mean the guy before him, Griffin or whatever?
Cassipio guy, whatever.
The guy hanging?
Yeah.
That was Griffiths or something like that. But anyways, 22 there, right?
Yeah, he's been working there for 22
so
years.
So that proves my point. The Pentagon guys are out to get the 22 people, which is the old Rockefeller group, because remember Rockefeller ran the state of New York at 22 West 55th Street.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that the FBI has been shadowing Block, the former deputy chief of the U.S. Embassy in Vienna, since at least June 22nd?
No, July 22nd. Yeah, right. June 22nd, and then July 22nd it went public in the media with ABC. You're right. There was two 22s in the Block case.
All right.
Yeah. What do you think of my high school, junior and public school sweetheart having all those 22s? Did you pick that up, all the 22 in my Nova Scotia reunion?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, yeah?
Yeah, in Ontario, as of 1986, 18% of the bodies were cremated. Now it's up to 22%.
That could be a reason why there's a cabinet shuffle, eh? The Rockefellers are moving back into a Bolshevik number 18-controlled Ontario, right?
Right.
18 is feminist, or the old feminist, the cult of IC, comes out of the Freemasonic group in England.
Okay.
I'm not disparaging women, just that's the way it was.
Here's a very dangerous story. Now, Bob, on a Wednesday, they reported that Hurricane Dean was roaring towards the northeast. Any comment on that?
Well, did you notice it was 122 miles per hour?
Very dangerous. Wednesday and Hurricane Dean?
Yeah, 122 miles per hour it was going at.
Oh.
And then it faded out just when Bob arrived in Newfoundland for his young sister's wedding.
That's remarkable serendipity.
Yeah, the same weekend there was a high school reunion. Hurricane Dean's forming up an alternative reunion.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, you know, I can't help but be impressed with the fact that these facts pour out and the pattern is so obvious. Just keeps being confirmed. So aside from the fate of the planet, the pattern is what we live on. Because we're all a pattern of information now. That's another characteristic of the discarnate state. So the pattern is what we're continuously analyzing and swimming in.
You know, interestingly, the lady you were speaking with before, she brought up the fate of the planet, and you suggested that maybe you would join LaRouche and the Russians and others and head out somewhere else to make a new beginning.
That's why we have the pseudo-exis. You know, that's their function.
This show has been on for over 2 years, and that might be the first time the fate of the planet ever came up in an environmental sense. Where is the Green Bob?
Only when a woman calls, the Green Bob shows up.
Oh, excite the Gaia energy?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
But Bobs can be put out into the blue box, George, on Wednesdays.
Good D8.
Okay.
That was Mike.
Yeah.
Right on.
Okay,
thanks, George. We got a call from Illinois, so we should get to it.
Good.
We've got lots of long-distance calls tonight.
Bye.
Thanks.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we've actually got a call from...
Thank you, George.
We've got a call from Karen Elliott from Illinois. I talked to you about Karen Elliott before.
Yeah, out of Montreal.
This is Karen Elliott from Illinois. So it's part of the Festival of the Swamps as well, I would assume. But anyways, they made contact tonight. So I'll see if they're still there. Are they on that line? Hello? Oh, hi, you're there.
Yes. Good. Okay. So we're on the air now.
Okay.
All right. Are you calling from Illinois?
Yes, Peoria, Illinois.
Peoria.
Elliott.
Okay. Well, I'm on the air with you. I also have some guests here, but they, you know, they can't hear you, so we can translate, or you can just go in to end up the show if you'd like, and we can just put you on the air, whatever's easiest.
We'd love to go on the air. We've got a group here.
Okay.
And we've got sound effects, and we've been practicing.
Do you want to introduce yourselves at all, or... I know you're Karen Elliott, but...
Yeah, we're Karen Elliott and Festival of the Swamps.
Okay.
And from Peoria, Illinois.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for calling tonight.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, Bob. We'll let them go on the air.
All right. This is excellent work, Mike.
And we'll just finish this up.
No, I didn't hear. You do.
Oh, hold on, someone's calling me.
Yo.
Are we on?
Yeah, you're on.
Yo.
Okay.
This is Festival of the Swamps from Peoria, Illinois, Karen
Festival of the Swamps. Festival of the Swamps. Festival of the
Swamps. Oh, sounds like an exorcist, Bob.
Festival of the Swamps.
Okay, well, I'll be back next week. You'll be back next week? No, in 2 weeks. Yeah. Thanks for a good show tonight.
I think that helped. Did I go over?
Didn't go over.
All right. I just wanted to say that it was a good show tonight because of the new energy and input from the discarnate female voice, which we recommend and solicitate more of that. Solicited.
Okay. My name is Michael Dyer. You've been listening to the dulcet tones of J.R. Bob Dobbs back from a well-deserved vacation. I'll be back next week. You're listening to CKLN 88.1 in Toronto, the Church of the Subgenius bi-weekly radio show. Bob, you're going to be around to field calls for a little while?
Oh, yeah, I have to be responsible for the effects of the show, which will carry on for a few hours.
Okay, and thanks to all our callers for phoning in tonight. We appreciate it. It makes the show extra special, doesn't it?
Yeah, wink, wink, and praise, praise.
Let's go out with Karen Elliott from Victoria, Illinois, and be back next week. Praise Bob.
Good night.
Thank you. boxes with thieves.
Died for me.
He wants to come and use it. Shouldn't he? Put that fucking rubber on, you fucking dick.
What's doing your pointy head around here without your raincoat on, damn you?
She's worthless. She stopped. She's
Karen Elliott.
Where, Mom?
Last.
Where, Mom? Where, Mom? She's over, Mom.
Where, Mom?
I started having sex with my brother when I was in fourth grade. What about you?
Fuck off.
Few minutes left in my show. I mean, we're on the air right now.
Okay.
So, I mean, if you wanted to talk or yell or just do something, I'm gonna play some music and just keep it going.
I have a phobia of policemen.
Yes.
I was here.
Here's
the
school.
Here's
the
school.
My mother left me.
Wow.